Joe, do you know what happened to Killarney many years ago?
No, but I'm guessing you're going to tell me.
Sorry, Joe, but it's way too raw, lu-ra-lu-rao.
Say that again 3 times fast.
You're evil. I barely got it out the first time.
So why are you quoting an Irish lullaby popularized by Bing Crosby?
Because it's Green Circle Garden bedtime. From webisodes, this is Growability, a digital documentary at the intersection of urban agriculture, food security, and community.
On this episode, we speak with Ian Armour of, and Holly kind of spoiled this part, Green Circle Gardens.
I love this. Ian's company makes garden beds accessible to virtually everyone.
Yep. Whether it's school, hospitals, retirement homes, or anywhere people gather, Ian has dedicated his career to offering beautiful and functional outdoor spaces that everyone can enjoy regardless of physical ability.
And we do have a few of these beds at the patch, don't we?
Sure do. And while we have some experience with them in our own work, I'm very curious about how and why Ian applied his industrial product design background to raised garden beds.
Obviously, we use them for growing food as a part of our urban agriculture mission, but I want to know too if that was a part of Ian's original thinking or was that something unexpected?
I have a funny feeling Ian had that in mind when he designed these beds, but Holly, do you want to know a cool fact about this interview?
I feel like if I say no, this episode's going to take an awkward turn, so yes, sure.
This is going to be our very first transcontinental interview.
Okay, yeah, it was worth the tease up.
I'm just glad you doubted me.
Well, before Ian joins us from an undisclosed location in Europe, if this podcast doesn't lull you into a state of deep slumber, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts.
And if you're digging our vibe on YouTube, please like and subscribe.
Pop over to growabilitypod.com to sign up for our free, fresh, and nutritious newsletter for the best stories and ideas from Growability and our guests.
Feel free to email us at hosts@growabilitypod.com anytime, day or night.
Send us ideas, questions, or guest suggestions for the future. Like our interview with Ian proves, we do go anywhere.
And there's no Z's in Tech Alliance of Southwestern Ontario. Thanks to the crew here for letting us film these interviews in this beautiful location.
And now let's get into a garden bed with Ian Armour.
That looked better on paper, didn't it?
Definitely did.
Hi, Ian. Where do we find you today?
Well, right now I'm in Madrid in Spain. Okay. And it's because I'm half Spanish. My mother's Spanish and my dad's Scottish. So, and my wife is Spanish as well. So I'm living in Madrid at the moment.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
That's incredible. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode, yeah. Ian. Let's start at the beginning. What is the mission of Green Circle Garden, Inc. and how did the company get started?
Okay, well, it all started at university. I studied creative product design. And in one of the projects, we were briefed to design a leisure product for over 60s. So we started designing a few concepts. And my grandmother at the time was in a care home in England. And she said what she missed most was a garden. And I sort of, the spark clicked, because at that time, a product for leisure over 60s, where I said, let's go into gardening and design an accessible garden. So we started designing a bit on that, and I designed a concept in wood, made out of wood. And then since then, obviously, the product has evolved quite a bit since then.
Ian, can you describe what a Green Circle accessible garden looks like for our viewers and our listeners?
Okay, well, I'd say it's a 3D model, so it's been designed in CAD. And it's it's an elevated garden bed, so a very high raised garden bed, yeah, with a wheelchair recess. So it's got a lot of space, so somebody in a wheelchair can get tucked in nicely up to, you know, it'll actually touch their stomachs, so they can actually get involved in garden, because most gardens don't allow your legs and your feet to sort of go into the garden.
Right.
There's usually a bit of trouble with accessibility there.
It seems like you decided to address accessibility as a question of design. How did that approach come about?
I think it was just a coincidence where at that time, during university, during that project, we could have designed anything. But basically, as sort of my grandmother was in a care home at the time, I started looking at gardens. And as a product designer and also studying 3D modeling, because that was part of the course, I saw that design plays an important role, for example, in the accessible garden, due to the fact of the material used. So if you make an accessible garden out of wood, what you'll notice is it's very difficult to get an ergonomic design that's comfortable and allows for somebody to sit in a wheelchair in the garden and then have enough soil depth to actually plant plants.
Right.
And that's where I think the design comes in, where I designed it in fiberglass rather than wood. The first concept was designed in fiberglass, so I could create a very ergonomic shape, which would allow a user, there'd be less of a compromise between accessibility, comfort, and then the functionality of the garden.
Right.
Right. And have you expanded that target audience to include anyone else?
Well, at the moment, we've only got one product, which is the Green Circle Garden. We are speaking to our clients, to the end users, to see how they're using the garden and what other products could be made, which we do have two products in the pipeline, which will be coming out.
Oh, wonderful.
And yeah.
Is it too soon to talk about them?
Yes, I think so. I think it's a little bit too soon just to get the registered design and everything on.
Fair enough. How, in your opinion, is gardening linked to the improvement of mental health for seniors, for instance, living in care homes?
I think it's very important. I mean, it's. I've been to these care homes and residents. I don't want to speak badly of them.
Of course.
But I think there's plenty to do. Okay. I think lots of people are in their rooms. They're not getting outside. It's actually quite sad in a way.
Right.
And I think that gardening is very important. I mean, my grandmother, she loved horticulture her whole life. She always had a very nice, looked after garden. And I think it brings, apart from bringing sort of well-being and being and a nice place to relax, to read a book, I think it's also good to sort of grow your own food, even if it's just herbs. You know, I mean, if you grow parsley or some tomatoes, they always taste nicer when you grow them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it also improves appetite, because right. In care homes, lots of people lose their appetite. So even if they grow, you know, some rosemary, a few herbs and things, when they put that on their plate, it gives a sense of appetite and it's something that they've grown.
100%.
Right.
But what kinds of food do you think you've noticed that people grow the most of when they're in homes using these?
Well,
yeah.
I think probably strawberries is definitely amazing. I mean, the strawberries,
nice.
I've been growing strawberries, and I've got a demonstration one at home, which I've been growing strawberries, and they're all year round. I mean, I don't actually do anything to them. I just let every year they come out and pick them. I think there's lots of other things. For example, here we're coming on to this other product that I was designing, which is about growing food. Basically, to grow root vegetables, you need at least 25 inches of soil depth.
Yes.
Our Green Circle Garden at the moment has 10 inches.
Okay.
So as root vegetables go, I wouldn't recommend those, but everything that grows above soil grows very well, because it's also got a 42-gallon water reservoir at the bottom.
Right.
So plants that do have large root systems will find their way into that water reservoir, and they do, let's say, grow out of proportion a little bit, and then obviously need to be transplanted.
Right.
So I think the way that I see that people use Green Circle Garden the most at the moment is for growing seedlings.
Mm.
So they grow seedlings, they don't need any maintenance whatsoever, or you take a cutting from any plant, you just stick into the soil, it'll grow. And then once the plant gets to an average size, the idea is to transplant that into a larger pot or into the ground in the garden. So you can actually grow lots of little flowers, plants, vegetables. And then once they're strong enough and got large root systems, they can be transplanted out into the garden.
And do you find that they are fully functional indoors as well as outdoors?
Yes, we do have a few clients who have indoors, but you do need to have artificial lighting. So you need to have a full spectrum LED light, for example.
Yep.
And that will do. I mean, as I said, they do have there's a large water reservoir at the bottom, so they can, there's no troubles of leaking or...
Yeah.
Or having to water them that much, because it can go on for months without watering.
Yeah, we actually have a few in our indoor space right now that we're experimenting with indoor growing.
Do you have them indoors?
Yes. And I've created, we have a trellis going off over each, and we've hung lights on them just to kind of substitute for the lack of light. But it's going pretty interestingly. We've grown some food, a lot of edible flowers, just because it's so beautiful. But it is really wonderfully accessible for our volunteer nights, because we do have a few participants in wheelchairs, and it helps a lot, actually help them get more involved, and even when there's other barriers, they can kind of get their hands dirty still, which is exactly what we want. But
that sounds great. So it'd be nice to see them in action.
Maybe we should take some pictures. We'll send it over for sure. Yeah. It's really interesting.
Coming on to my other products, I can talk a little bit about them, but basically, this would be, say, for seedlings with maximum comfort, because there is a compromise. You can't have a huge amount of soil and have wheelchair access. It's quite difficult to play around with those measurements.
Right.
So the next product is going to be, let's say, a deeper soil garden, so for root vegetables.
So cool. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, and then there's... So I'm going to try and see. So people grow the seedlings, and from the seedlings, they can either go to the larger pots or to a third product, which is going to be something also quite similar. But the idea is that. The idea is to grow seedlings with very little maintenance, and then from there, they go into the garden.
Okay, wonderful.
There's no need to actually buy that many plants, because when you got one plant, you take a cutting, and you can make many more plants. So
definitely.
It's very nice. It's very nice for example, new construction projects where the garden, let's say, isn't planted out properly. Well, this gives the residents a way of planting their own plants and then designing the garden in a sense. So they can sort of put flowers in certain areas and make the garden nicer.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, actually. It's a nice space to just kind of start it off that's not too protected or... high maintenance. You kind of just let it go and then dig them out again. That's a really good idea. Yeah, I've not thought of to use it for that. So I think that we may be experimenting a little bit. Was it part of your intent to link this product to food security and access to healthy foods?
No, not to be honest. I mean, in Spain, people eat quite healthy. I mean, gardens in general in Spain, for example, there's not that much interest for it because everything grows so easily.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, in England, for example, it's completely the opposite. In England, you have to prune at the right time, fertilizing the soil, looking after the garden. It's something that people do a lot more in that culture. And I think the American markets and Canadians, I think, as well have, are closer to the English in that sense.
Yeah.
Of keeping up the gardens.
I agree. Yeah.
I have sort of a design question for you, Ian.
Yes.
Do you think that we can create, through innovative design, a world where food is accessible to all people?
Yes. I think that growing food is not a difficult thing. I mean, it does require space. And it does require some planning, but if you do get the planning right, I mean, the plants come out. I'm sure you're very experienced planting different sorts of vegetables and things, and it's all got to do with preparation, soil preparation, and all these things. And then once it gets going, it's going. That's my idea. I think that people should grow more, right? Because there's lots of things that can be grown, even in your own. You can. Bean sprouts and things as well. I mean, I've seen people grow in their own kitchen. You can grow lots of different seeds, which are used for salads and things. So I think that's a good place to start if there's no space,
right?
In a city setting.
Definitely. Do the hospitals and long-term care facilities who use your product serve the food they grow in those gardens?
In hospitals, I think there's a lot of bureaucracy as well on whether they can eat certain things. For example, I'm not sure if they would allow a patient to go and eat a nasturtium, for example, from the garden, even if it is edible. They do have their sort of strict laws in place. But in hospitals, we do have gardens in hospitals, and they're called healing gardens. Mm. And that's where the patients, when they're recuperating, they'll go down to the garden and they can read a book there. and just be in a nicer setting than being in a room.
Yeah.
So they call it healing gardens. It's, right. It's new to me, but that's what it's called.
Yeah, we actually have one of those at our Cavendish farm as well. It is, I can tell it's, it could be very, very useful having a system like that, like yours, at a hospital because of all of the wheelchair access. As people are recovering, it's a beautiful thing to incorporate into the hospital, I think, yeah.
So a question. There, we've talked about the healing components of the garden, but there's also a huge educational component to the Green Circle Gardens. And you sell these to schools?
Yes.
Okay.
I think education is important, yes. Biology. I mean, we all remember when we learned about pollination and root systems and how plants work and everything. Well, it's very important to be able to see that up close, especially for somebody who's in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can actually go and you can feel, you can smell and interact with the flowers at a much closer level and actually see, well, the stigma, the pollen, and all those things that, that go with it. So I think biology is important, and being able to see how seeds grow and how seeds are made from a close distance is important in education.
Right. And now, do you see the secondary value in it creating inclusivity for students?
Yes. The garden is not only for wheelchairs, but it's also good for those who can't bend down.
Right.
And the idea of the Green Circle Garden, why it's called the Green Circle Garden, is because 10 of them or 9 of them create a circle with a barrier. And the idea behind that is for inclusivity, so the standing and seated people can garden together, but also to create a barrier to the outside world, which is that's the technical phrase that the American Horticultural Therapy Association uses,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Which is for those with dementia or Alzheimer's, that they feel more comfortable when they're protected by a barrier.
Interesting.
So that's how I took the idea of having that sort of circle, that enclosure, creates an enclosure of sort of a barrier that supposedly creates a sense of safety
wow.
for the users.
That's really beautiful. I didn't realize that. Interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of little things you read and then you see,
yeah.
put the product together.
Yeah. Do you think it's important, just going back to your comment about people using wheelchairs and also people who are standing, interacting together at the same garden. What do you think, how do you think that that's important? For both, for many individuals to be accessing the garden at once like that.
Well, it's socializing, isn't it? I mean, everybody's doing their own little thing, helping out. Everybody cracks a joke or something. I think it's a nice way to have a social, so people can socialize.
Right.
As I said, lots of these people are sometimes in their rooms, they don't leave.
Right.
And it's quite sad. So any opportunity for them to go out into the sun.
Right.
And have a little talk and do some gardening, I think is a good thing for them.
Definitely. Why do you think, just to spin off of that, why do you think it's important for different generations to be gardening together as well?
I think the answer is the same to the last one.
Right.
I think to build ties, to
right.
build ties, to socialize, to make friends.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Holly's mentioned our urban farm, which we call the Patch, because
it looks great.
Thank you. Because and that's what it is. It's
yeah.
It's a patch. It's a patch. It's a green space. It's in an urban context. And what it is it's a space that has embraced the use of spaces not traditionally used for farming. Do you see the Green Circle Gardens utilizing non-traditional farming spaces to create patches for food security?
Yes. The good thing about the Green Circle Garden is that 42-gallon water reservoir is really good for very arid areas. So in California and Arizona, we do have quite a few gardens in places which you would literally call the desert.
Yes. Right.
As in it's just sand, ground, there's no water whatsoever, there's no greenery whatsoever because nothing's going to grow there.
Mm-hmm.
But by putting these gardens, and they have their own water supply. It's a way of bringing, yes, gardening to areas which wouldn't be able to garden otherwise.
Now, in your travels and, you know, between, you know, in Europe, and I don't know if you've been to North America, but do you see opportunities that maybe you haven't noticed green circle gardens in that can help people grow their greens, their foods, and their natural medicines? Like, are you like, yes, one should be there?
Yeah, in the United States, you mean?
Sure, yeah.
Yes, I've been to the United States many times. We do manufacture our gardens in California now.
Right.
Because obviously the shipping, as it's such a large item, the shipping was prohibitive.
Right.
And we couldn't get them over. So we had lots of interest from United States. So we decided to design the product in the United States and make it more available for everybody.
Right.
Incredible.
And when they're being shipped out, do you hear, and when your consumers are taking them, have you heard of some cool, innovative spaces where they've been set up and food's been grown?
I think the most interesting place was a place I visited. I think it's Visalia, okay. Visalia in California. It's a desert. It was a patch of land which was just sand. And to see the gardens there actually growing plants is amazing because it's like an oasis.
Wow.
You know what I mean? You wouldn't expect plants to be growing underneath. It gets very hot there in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Very hot and dry.
Is there any space where the garden would have functional challenges being implemented? Like, is there any space that maybe it just doesn't function as well?
I don't know what to say about that.
Everywhere?
It's a standalone device as long as it's getting some sunlight.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think it's all good. I mean, the bad place would be in, obviously, if you put it in the shade.
Right.
Say, or say indoors with no natural light, it's not really going to do much, is it?
No.
But I think it does very well in drier areas. For example, if you go to a very humid area, say Florida,
mm-hmm.
I think there maybe it would be beneficial to reduce the amount of self-irrigation of the planter because of the humidity. Because obviously roots do like moist soil, but they don't like to be drowned in water. So I think that depending on the climate, there are small changes that can be made to the garden so it works as intended.
Right.
So to answer your question, I think that right now, if you were to put the garden in a very humid, wet area, it may be bad for the roots in the sense that there would be maybe too much water saturation of the soil, which is bad for all plants, I think.
Okay.
Most plants.
Right. The humidity. Okay. Interesting. And I'm asking for a friend, but how does one go about emptying one of these systems indoors?
Okay. Indoors. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. There you're in a bit of a conundrum.
Yes.
What I would do is, you know, the way the water meter is, the pipe that comes out. Okay. So the only way to not get any splashing, I think, would be to remove that one, put a hose pipe in there, and then do the siphon. You know, the siphon effect where you suck on one side and you pull it out?
Yes.
I think that's the best way to not get any dripping whatsoever.
Okay.
The other way, what usually when it's outdoors, what we do is we just take off one of the side outlets, drain it.
So if
you have it indoors and it's full up with water, well, you've got two options. You can either let it dry out, which will take a hell of a long time, or put a hose pipe down through the hole I'm talking about where the water meter is. And then siphon it out. That's what I think is the best way.
Okay, noted. Thank you.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about a couple products that are coming down the pipeline without disclosing too much, but what else does the future hold for Green Circle Gardens?
Well, I think getting in touch with our clients, the end users, finding out how they use the gardens, what they would like, because I think they're the ones that have the most experience of what they want, what the client wants. And I think we're going to expand on products that are relevant to the existing Green Circle Garden and that allow users to grow their own food at a more let's say, more successfully. So we're going to be doing the root vegetable garden,
right,
which hasn't been, that'll be coming out. But basically, that's going to be similar to the existing one, but built for growing root vegetables. So it's going to be more on the edible gardening side of things.
Wonderful.
And then a much larger pot, which is going to be literally for a low maintenance garden for schools, hospitals, which they can then grow larger plants and even small trees in.
Oh, wow.
Very cool.
That's incredible. And where can we find out more about Green Circle Gardens?
Well, we have our website and we do some advertising, but other than that, that's about it. Unless you see it's in a hospital or in a school or a care home by you, there's not much other way of finding us.
Perfect. So on your website then. Awesome.
Yes.
Well, we'll put the website in the show notes, but before we let you go, we have a final question that we ask all of our guests. What keeps you growing?
What keeps me growing? Well, I just love it. I mean, I think my grandmother showed me from a young age how nice the garden is, and we've always been looking after it. And you see how it evolves over time. It's very nice to see how gardens evolve over time. You know, they start small, they grow big, you cut them down, then they grow larger, and you always, it's like a work in progress, and it gives a lot of self-satisfaction. And that's the reason why I like to garden and to grow my own food. Especially, another reason is also all the pesticides and insecticides that get used on vegetables nowadays. I mean, tomatoes and strawberries, those are the number two. Those two, there's something like 26 or 30 different types of insecticides and pesticides that could be on the fruit. And then they have to be rinsed for, they say, up to 20, 30 seconds underneath a tap to get rid of all the pesticides. I think that's another reason.
Right.
I think it's important to grow organic and healthy food, because what's the point of eating a strawberry if what you're eating is chemicals?
You're 100% right. Thank you so much for contributing to that accessibility for healthy foods. Ian, thank you.
Right.
Thank
you're
you welcome. So much for joining us today. This was amazing. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Holly and Joe.
Yeah, thank you.
If you like this show, please like and subscribe on YouTube and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're preparing a bunch of special extras for our fresh and nutritious newsletter subscribers. Sign up for free at growabilitypod.com. Growability is hosted by Joe Gansevlis and Holly Pugsley. Special thanks to this week's guest, Ian Armour. Our show is produced by Adam Kaplan, Joe Gansevlis, and Holly Pugsley. Production support from Oliver Gansevlis, Evan Gansevlis, Scott Hahn, Kevin Labonte, Paul Rogers, Dorantina Uka, and Alan Williamson. Holly Pugsley of Just Keep Growing art directed this episode and made sure the plants looked great. Audience strategy by Dorantina Uka and Tess Alcock. Our theme music is Wandering William by Adrian Walter and can be found on Soundstripe. Adam Kaplan, that's me, is Webisode's executive producer, and Sammy Orlowski is our senior creator. Thanks to Tech Alliance of Southwestern Ontario, including Farida Abdelnabi and Sarah Edmondson, for letting us shoot at their beautiful offices. Special thanks to Leanne Gansevlis for the support and yummy food, Hubert Orlowski for helping our podcast sound great, and Gabor Sass for making some great introductions. Growability is a Webisodes production and is produced with the support and participation of the team at The Patch and Hutton House.